Retirement this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worry on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on the rain. But I'm not afraid. This rover,
thank God it's Friday,
crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Welcome to the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. Here on the Big 550 KTRS, I am Paul Harris, your 20% host, giving 100% of the effort. And joined, of course, by Dan Strauss and Ian Geis, who are here 100% of the time and give
20%.
20% of the effort.
At least.
On a good day.
Maybe 25.
Yeah. And let me just say right at the beginning here, none of the three of us are releasing our tax returns.
No.
This ends the political portion of today's show.
Mm-hmm.
Hope you enjoyed that. Coming up on the show today, Clint Hill, who was a Secret Service agent from 1958 to 1975, which means he was a Secret Service agent protecting five different presidents. And now here's Dan Strauss to name them. Dan?
That would be Eisenhower.
Correct.
That would be Kennedy.
Correct.
That would be Johnson.
Correct.
Was it Gerald Ford in here?
Yes, you missed one.
Oh, I missed. Oh, Jimmy Carter.
No.
No.
Richard Nixon.
Oh, Nixon. That's right. Holy cow.
So he's got a book out about working for those five presidents, and I've always been fascinated by the people who do that job.
Oh, Nixon would be interesting.
Yeah. I got a lot of stuff I want to ask him about.
Like,
did you know that everything in the Oval Office was being taped?
Yeah.
And did you keep your mouth shut when you knew you were in there?
Man.
Also, I got to ask him about that Elvis and Nixon movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because I just saw that a few weeks ago, and I raved about it on the show.
Yeah.
He would have been at the White House, I think. He would have been at the White House then,
I'm
in 1970.
Sure. Yeah.
So, lots of stuff to ask him about. And for those of you who may have missed the previous hour on the John Carney show, Dan was very impressed that Carney had Steve-O of Jackass fame.
Mm-hmm.
As a guest, not on the phone, but actually in the studio here.
Yeah.
And could not wait to get in here to compare tattoos with him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'll put it on our Facebook page. I'll put the picture of Steve-O.
Who has a lot of tats.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And he has a tat of your name on his butt.
The two words. Correct? Yes. Yeah. Your and name.
He told that story about going into bars and saying, I'll bet you a drink that I have your name on my butt. What?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? How would you even know my name? I don't care what your name is or how you spell it. I have your name on my butt.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, people bet him, and then he pulls his pants down, which, by the way, he will do, I was going to say at the drop of a hat, but at the drop of a pants.
Yeah.
And he did to Carney, mm-hmm. by the way, when he told the story. And he has YOURNAME, your name.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty clever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's pretty clever in your 20s and 30s.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it shows he's not stupid because it wasn't YOU apostrophe RE. He got the right form of your on there. So.
Very, very good. Very good. So was he impressed by your tattoos?
Oh, extremely. I only have one.
Yeah, all one of them.
Yes, I have one tattoo. And I said, Steve-O, how about a picture with Tat, since we're Tat brothers? So I'll show you. I'll put it on our Facebook page so people can see it. That he was very impressed with mine.
Yeah. Now I noticed as I was listening to Carney and Steve-O,
mm-hmm.
they sound very much the same.
Oh, my goodness. The sound guy. Any sound guy would go crazy. If in the old days of radio, with the engineer over there trying to figure things out, it's like...
Well, we call that person Ian.
Yes.
Or on Carney's show, Josh.
Yes. So you would be going, so, Steve-O, what's going on? You're in town for things...
That's right, John. I'm here, and I'm going to do some stand-up. I've got your name on my butt. Let me see it. All right, let me pull my pants down.
That's exactly it.
That's impressive.
I will tell you that listening to those two have a conversation on the air, I desperately needed a lozenge.
Yes.
I know. I was sitting there. I was driving in, and I heard him on. I'm like,
you just go.
Yeah. I'm like, who?
Clear your throat, for God's sake, one of you.
I started coughing just listening, but I said, who is this? And then it was like, oh, it dawned on me, it's Steve-O. But yeah, he was like,
John. I got it.
I can't imagine him yelling about
this. Hey, help me! Somebody help me!
Does your throat hurt just doing that?
No,
because you know you're almost when you're doing Steve-O, you're almost doing like a ventriloquist thing in the back of your throat.
I know.
Doesn't it sound like a ventriloquist character? Do a little more.
Oh, yeah. Hey, John, listen, I want to go.
No, it doesn't hurt.
He's doing the man in the box.
Yeah,
vibrating your uvula.
Yeah.
Somebody help me! I'm in a box. I can't get out. That is interesting, Josh. Isn't that wild? Are you talking to Josh?
And Carney's voice is the other character because the ventriloquist always has a normal voice. Who's that guy who won America's Got Talent and then went to Vegas? Terry something.
Fader.
Terry Fader,
oh,
yes.
Yeah.
When he talks, when he does his act, he just talks in a normal voice. And then all of a sudden, these other characters come out of him, and that's how they sound.
So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for coming to my show. I have a man in the box.
My friend Steve-O is with me.
Yeah, my friend Steve-O.
Hold on. My other character, Carney at the Door.
Is in the box.
Here.
Yeah.
This is what my character, Carney at the Door, sounds like.
Hi, John.
I have nothing to do with this, John.
Did your guest not call?
He's not coming on for 15 minutes.
Solid. Can we get him early?
You wanted us to mention your show.
Yeah, you're always bugging us. We don't talk about your show at all. Here we're into our fifth minute of plugging your show.
Dan's doing a full reenactment.
Yeah.
Frank would never do. Oh, never mind.
No, he would not.
Hi, I'm in the box. I'm John's friend in the box.
Hilarious.
I have a tattoo.
Thanks for the attention.
You're welcome. Don't do too much. He's a heart patient.
I know.
Love you, John.
That's making my throat scratch.
I know.
Have a nice weekend, Mr. Carney.
I don't know where...
box boy.
I don't know if it was an episode of Jackass or one of his other shows that he had after Jackass, but I think one of his tattoos that I saw he had done, he had a tattoo artist do a smiley face on his arm, but they were riding in a Humvee at the time over a bunch of out in the desert somewhere with a bunch of hills and bumps and.
Yeah. Did not come out nice, did it?
No.
By the way, while I'm mentioning Steve-O, I'm happy to plug the fact that he's at the Helium Comedy Club at the Galleria.
The Helium Comedy Club?
That's what it's called.
That's right. I'm at the Helium Comedy Club.
His voice is actually like this. When he performs...
Product placement.
He's a man in a very high box. My wife and I went there last Friday night. It's a very nice room. It's a good room for comedy. We went to see Piff the Magic Dragon.
Oh, that's right.
You know, this guy who I also saw on America's Got Talent. And when I was in Vegas earlier this year, he had a show, but it was not. He was not in Vegas at the time that I was there, so I didn't get to see him. So we went to see him.
And I think John had him on a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. And my wife and I were both looking forward to this because what we had seen him do there, and he was also on that Penn and Teller show, Fool Us, a few years ago. And he was very funny, very irreverent, and pretty good magician, too. And when you go see a magician in a comedy club, which I've done a few times over the years, some of them are very, 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 very good at magic, not so much with the banter. Some of them are very good at the banter, not so much with the magic. But there's a guy named Mac King, who I discovered maybe 15 years ago playing at the Funny Bone downstairs from where we are right now here at Westport. And shortly thereafter, he got a gig at Harrah's in Las Vegas, and he's still there doing 5 days a week, 2 shows a day. In the afternoon, it's an afternoon show, the Mac King Comedy Magic Show. Great. I recommend it to everybody who goes to Las Vegas. And so many people who I've told to do that have gone and seen him and come back and said, thank you for telling us about that. It's so good. Mac King is his name. And so I thought that that's what we'd be getting with Piff, you know, because I'd seen him doing the magic and the banter on television and expected it to be pretty much the same thing. Boy, were we disappointed.
Really?
I'm very sorry to say.
Oh.
Part of it may be, have been spoiled by his opening act, who is, they describe her as an ex-Vegas showgirl. And she comes out, and when I hear, when I'm in a comedy club and somebody says, before our headliner to open the show, okay, fine, I've seen plenty of opening acts. Some of them are good, some of them are not so good. She wasn't really an opening act as much as she was, I imagine it's what it would be like to be on a cruise ship with somebody who just wanted to pump up the room, but didn't actually do anything. That's what she was doing. Yeah. Where are my women at here tonight? Where are my single women at tonight? Let's hear it. Woo! Then there was nothing to follow that. What about my single men? Well, maybe we can get you hooked up with this one over here. What's your name? Where are you from? But it didn't go anywhere. Woo! Let's all stand up. Let's all cheer. I came to a comedy club to sit. I purchased a chair for the rent. I'm renting a chair for the next 90 minutes. I'm not standing up just because you're telling me to stand up.
I'm going to let the comedian stand up. I'm going to sit over here.
It's called stand-up comedy for a reason. It's not stand-up audience.
No.
After she did this nonsense for about 15 minutes or so, and I'm telling you, there was no actual content. It was all just hype. And she's not running for president, surprisingly. Then Piff comes out, and he has some technical problems with one of the things that he's using, a camera and a screen, and that doesn't work, and so the show comes to a grinding halt. But even then, when he was doing tricks, they weren't all that amazing. They were good. They were clever tricks. Some of them I knew how he was doing them because I've seen plenty of magic in my life, and I've seen other people doing those tricks, and he had semi-interesting twists on them, but there weren't enough tricks. You know, if you're going to be on stage for an hour, I expect to see, I don't know, a magic trick every 3 or 4 minutes. I think he may have done 3 or 4 tricks, maybe 5 in the whole hour, and that's just not enough. That's not what I came to see. I didn't come to see you talking. If I went to a comedy club to see somebody talk, it would be a comedian, not a magician.
He needed a man in the box.
He did.
Hey, Piff, let me out.
Yeah, well, he has a little dog, a little rat dog, rescue dog.
A rat dog.
It looks like a rat dog.
Is it a chihuahua?
Yes, it is.
Little chihuahuas look like bug-eyed rats.
Yeah, he calls it Mr. Piffles, and, you know, he uses it for a couple of things, hands it to an audience member for a half hour, and, you know, nothing goes on. Very disappointing. But that Helium Comedy Club, where Steve-O is going to be performing tonight and tomorrow night, it's a good room. I had nothing against the room.
And where is it? Is it the one in the Galleria?
Yeah, it's right behind the Weber Grill. Or kind of around the corner from the Galleria there. And we went to... Did you go with us? I know Ian went. Did you go with us when we went to see Steve-O at Pops like 10 years ago?
No, I did not. No.
Oh, man. That was right at the height of A, Jackass.
Yeah.
And B, addiction, right?
Yes.
He was freaked out of his mind, as I recall.
I would say yes, he would agree with both of those.
It's, I believe, the only time I've seen a human being light himself on fire in my presence.
Oh.
And then proceeded to do a front flip?
Yes. Lit his hair on fire and then did a standing forward flip, which I was also very impressed by.
I think he was talking about being 8 years clean now.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah, very cool to see him. Not one that you would have thought would have been able to clean up his act.
Yeah, good for him. Good for
him. Yes, and like he said, a lot of that stuff he does on stage is, I think he went to Ringling Circus School.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. So
to learn to be a clown.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, we got a couple minutes before we have to go to Clint Hill here. How was Grant's Farm this morning?
It was good. We left early today.
Ian took Archie to. Is this his first Grant's Farm visit?
No, but it had been a year. It had been since last.
This is the first time he's aware that he's at Grant's Farm.
Where he is,
because he's a year and a half old now.
Yeah, and he can drink beer now at the end.
Absolutely. Yeah. But yeah, so she forewarned me that. We're getting up early. We're leaving early. We're getting there when it opens.
Oh, you do not want to get there late.
No, because we got there early enough. I mean, we got there a few minutes before 9.
That's when they open at 9 o'clock?
Yeah, they open at 9 o'clock. So we were one of the first few groups in there.
Mm-hmm.
We were already leaving at 10:30. We were, done. Wow. Nap time, everything. But leaving at 10:30, walking out through the mass of humanity that...
Well, it's a beautiful day.
Yes.
And so people decide they're going to go there. And are there school groups?
Oh, sure.
At
absolutely.
This time of the year, school groups are going there?
We saw in the park when we were there, or the farm, there was a senior group, a senior high school group from Oklahoma, I think. You have people from out of state coming.
Really?
They'll come in, like the groups like that will come in for choir competitions or band competitions or some sort of competition, and then they'll make plans to go around to different places.
They'll do the zoo, they'll do the farm, they'll do the arch.
Yeah. This must have been their senior trip because they all had shirts that said seniors 2016.
Uh-huh.
So you have groups like that, then you have daycare field trips, regular school. I don't know. I'm assuming, some schools are still in session. So
yeah.
So leaving at 10:30, I mean, there are probably 40 to 50 buses in the parking lot.
Oh, my goodness.
The line goes all the way through the parking lot, almost back to the Clydesdale barn.
Get out of here.
I mean, almost.
Wait a second. From the tram station inside Grant's Farm.
Yes.
You got that winding path that goes across that bridge, across the creek, and then to the parking lot. And you're telling me it goes to the other side of the parking lot where the Clydesdale is?
Almost, yes.
I'm telling you right now, as a local, because if you're on a trip, you don't have any choice.
Right. That's if you're out of state,
But as a local, if I drive in there.
No way.
I'm driving right back out. I'm going to the parking guy. Give me my $10 back.
Yes.
Is it $10 to get in?
I believe it's 12 now.
12. Right. Yeah. Give me my $12 back. I'm not going inside. I'm not going to wait 2 hours.
No, because.
You know what? And they will do that, too. They will give you your money back.
Yeah. But the out of town.
Yeah, it has
screwed.
To be 2 hours to get up to the tram. The biggest thing I saw with the trams, loading them and unloading them, is the strollers that holds down the process, because you have, some people have. We took a stroller that's collapsible, almost one of those umbrella strollers.
Yeah.
But some people have the double wide or for two kids.
Yeah.
And unloading and loading those every tram trip that holds up the process easily by minutes. Yeah. So
it's funny because there were people who woke up this morning and said, "Well, it's going to be a beautiful day. Let's go to Grant's Farm on Friday morning." Saturday and Sunday, it's always been crowded.
Yeah, weekends. Oh, he can't get in there.
Who's going to be there at 10 o'clock on a Friday morning?
Oh, man.
Everybody. Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back, and I'll introduce you to Clint Hill, former 5-President Secret Service Agent, here on the Big 550 KTRS.
All right, here's our man in the box with traffic.
Hi, Tim Weiland.
Hey, Dan.
How are you? Can you be the man in the box?
Tim's like, "What are you doing?" He wasn't listening to the last
No, I was listening.
You are.
Or just ignoring
him. Yeah, you're just ignoring, just like everyone else. Thanks, Tim.
All right.
I thought you were my friend.
It looks like we got an accident, or there is an accident on eastbound 44 at Grand. It's blocking the right lane. Traffic is backed up now just a little bit east of Hampton. And we also, it looks like there's something on southbound 270 near Dorset. That's got traffic backed all the way up to Highway 70. Then we've got a stalled vehicle on southbound 270 near Manchester. The left lane is blocked. It's a jam up to Highway 40. Southbound 170 is slowing now from Olive down through Highway 40. We've got a slow pocket, a really heavy pocket on northbound 170 between Page and Midland before things finally open up there in downtown. Eastbound 40 is slowing now, Compton to the Poplar. This traffic report is brought to you by GoToMeeting. Step up your meeting game with GoToMeeting, the online meeting solution that lets you collaborate and present from anywhere. Be a meeting MVP and start your free trial at GoToMeeting.com. From the Vincent Mortgage Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
KTRS Traffic Center is brought to you by Vincent Mortgage, 314-839-9999, NMLS number 225095.
Paige Brendan Weesey, the newest member of the Big 550 KTRS Sports Department, joined Jim Huer and I weeknights at 6:30 on the Big Sports Show on KTRS.
The Big Sports Show. Big Sports Show on KTRS.
No company sells and installs more windows than Window World. Hi, everybody. McGraw-Milhaven here for the number one replacement window company here in St. Louis. I've been a spokesman of theirs for at least 12 years, and they have grown exponentially because they have a very simple formula. Great customer service and great windows. In fact, the windows come with the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval. Window World Windows comes with a lifetime warranty that covers all the parts, glass breakage, as well as labor. For the last 6 years in a row, they've sold over 1 million windows nationwide. Why is that? Because they stand behind their product. Window World. If you're looking for windows, there really is no other company. I would put my reputation behind it. Window World Windows, 314-993-1800. That's 314-993-1800 or windowworld.com. For the best windows at the best price, best customer service, windowworld.com.
Here's a word from Suburban Leisure Center. Save big. Well, that's actually two words, but the point is, you can save 15 to 40% on complete patio furniture sets at Suburban Leisure Center. Finally, you can easily afford to replace that old, rickety, weathered patio furniture by taking advantage of tremendous savings on new patio sets. Suburban Leisure Center has a great selection of everything you'd need to have yourself a mini resort in your yard, with patio furniture from all the top brands, plus umbrellas at 15 to 40% off. And because you can actually sit on the furniture and feel the quality at Suburban Leisure Center, it's a lot better than ordering on the internet and hoping that it looks like what you saw online. What are you waiting for? The 15 to 40% off complete patio furniture sale is for a limited time only. Bottom line, save big. There are those two words again. At Suburban Leisure Center on Olive, just a mile west of 141. Get better merchandise at better prices at Suburban Leisure Center. Online at suburbanleisurecenter.com.
What's that sound?
Oh, that's just Jim, our screen repair guy. It's a little known fact that the window screen repairman hibernates during the winter months when broken screens are scarce. Then, as spring brings warmer weather, he awakens to once again begin his work.
Wow, really?
No, not really. Only wild animals hibernate. Jim is just taking a nap because he doesn't have many screens to fix.
Oh.
Hi, this is Frank Blair from Schnars Hardware, here to tell you this is a great time of year to avoid the spring rush and drop off your screens to get them ready for warmer weather.
Oh, yeah?
Then you can open up those windows at the first sign of balmy breezes, instead of waiting like your neighbors will have to.
Oh, so the screens keep the bugs out while the balmy breezes come in.
Bring those screens into Schnars today and avoid the rush.
Really?
Schnars Hardware, where you don't charge for the popcorn or the advice. Now with two locations, 9800 Clayton Road in Ladue and the former Mac Hardware at 40 East Lockwood in Webster Groves. For locations, hours, or to shop online, go to schnars.com.
Over 77 years ago, Midwest Floor opened its doors for the first time with one goal in mind: to supply the St. Louis area with the finest quality flooring and craftsmanship available. Hello, I'm Brian McGee, president of Midwest Floor. It is my pledge to the St. Louis area to continue that policy by providing you with a comfortable shopping experience from the most knowledgeable sales staff anywhere, along with expert union craftsmen to install your floor. With that same quality concept in mind, I've opened a new division called Simply Clean Floors. Simply Clean Floors is the newest carpet cleaning company in the St. Louis area with a reputation to match Midwest Floor. So if you've ever wondered who to call to get your carpets looking like new again, the answer is simple. Call Simply Clean Floors. You can reach Simply Clean Floors at 314-896-4411 or online at simplycleanfloors.com. I promise your experience with Simply Clean Floors will be a great one.
Hello, Jay Randolph, with a question. Is your golf cart ready to roll? Golf season is here. Go to Ellis Battery. They carry that Crown Battery brand, the very best. They focus on quality and production. And there are six locations to serve you in Missouri. Check them out on the web at ellisbatteries.com. That's ellisbatteries.com for the very best way to get from here to there.
Start easy, be positive.
There may be one thing that's standing between you and retirement, but it's probably not what you think it is. Find out the answer on America's Wealth Management Show this Saturday afternoon at 1 right here on 550 KTRS.
Join the barbecue revolution every Sunday night from 4 to 5 p.m. on the Big 550 KTRS.
Join Frank and Kevin on the Big Barbecue Show every Sunday on the Big 550 KTRS from 4 to 5 p.m.
Wow, this is a stumper. Dan and I could not think of the name of the guy who did this song.
Born to be alive.
This is All the Hits by Patrick Hernandez. And this is the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. Speaking of being born to be alive, we have we now are down to one person alive from the 19th century. Only one person, a woman in Italy, is now 160, almost 116. Older than 116 years old.
No, she's 116. The one that just died, I
was
believe,
116. Up in New York.
Was also 116.
116 as
Susanna
well.
Susanna Jones died in New York yesterday. The only person left alive from the 19th century, born November 29th, 1899, is a woman named Emma Morano.
Wow.
She lives in Italy. She was told this morning, and she said, "My word, I'm as old as the hills." Just a little tip. If you say, "I'm as old as the hills," you actually are.
Yes.
No one since the 19th century has used that phrase, I'm as old as the hills. No. And, you know, whenever somebody who's really old becomes the new oldest person in the world, they're always asked, "What's your secret to longevity?" And they always have the sort of thing that if a doctor told you to do that, they'd be disbarred from the American Medical Association.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's always, well, yeah, I smoke a cigar a day.
I eat a plate of bacon every morning.
Well, you're very close. She eats a raw egg every day.
Oh, raw egg.
She was diagnosed with anemia
along
when she
with
was
my
20
plate of
years
bacon.
Old. No, she eats that with a plate of semolina. What is semolina?
Semolina is a flour.
Kind of like a cereal?
Semolina flour. I don't know what...
She is one of eight children, all of whom have since died. One sister lived to be 102. She's now 116. A reporter called to tell her that she was the oldest person in the world, and she could not come to the phone because she's deaf.
Hmm.
So somebody else, I guess, wrote it down for her and told her that.
Well, it's not like you can ask either of them what the 19th century was like anyway.
My Aunt Gus is 110, so she's 6 years behind.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. How's that working out?
Great. She's still kicking. She's still going. She just moved out of her house not long ago. So she's living with family.
Wow. She was living by herself?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My mom's 91 and lives by herself.
Yeah, and she remembers everyone's birthday.
Wow. No memory loss at all?
No.
See, right there, that's amazing.
Yeah.
What were we talking about? See what I did there?
It's like,
it's like a joke, but it's not actually a joke. What's up with Mr. Secret Service?
I left him a message, and I said, "You should know who we are." No, I didn't say that, but I did leave him a message and told him... to call us.
Okay.
So he's supposed to call.
Well, maybe he'll call. In the meantime, I have this great story from this week. Do you ever watch the show Antiques Roadshow on PBS?
Yes.
On occasion?
Yeah.
Okay. That's one of those shows that I never set the DVR to watch.
No.
But sometimes I'm flicking around on the TV like I've just finished watching something on the DVR. I don't feel like getting up. I'm in my recliner. Okay, what's on? And I just go flicking around the channels. And sometimes I land on Channel 9 and Antiques Roadshow is on. And I can't help but watch to see two things. One, what bizarre thing has somebody found in their attic or their basement?
Yeah.
And two, how do they always have an expert on that exact thing ready to go? It's kind of like, is it Pawn Stars or Pawn Wars?
Pawn Stars.
Pawn Stars. Okay. Pawn the one, that's in the one in
they
Vegas,
usually
right?
call yeah. the experts. So I'll have to get back to you. I'm going to bring my expert in and analyze.
Yeah,
this.
Pawn Stars will bring an expert in. They'll say, I need to talk to this friend of mine that's a gun expert or whatever expert he is on whatever they're trying to get rid of.
And then the person says, okay, problem. And he goes in the back and says, get Jenkins on the phone.
Yeah.
Tell him he's a gun expert.
Yeah.
Bring him in here.
How much were you wanting for this? Oh, 2,000. We'll give you 35.
Yeah.
that's usually what it is. Because yeah. if I ran a pawn store, I would never tell you that it was worth a lot of money.
No.
Because the idea of a pawn store is people bring you things, you get it from them at a low price, and then you sell it to somebody else at a high price. You're,
right.
You're
that's
in business.
The business concept.
But on Antiques Roadshow, they're not actually buying or selling anything.
They're appraising.
No. They're only appraising things for you, and what they want to find are amazing things. You know, maybe you got it at a yard sale, and you didn't know what its real value was, and you paid, you know, I just paid $5 from this. Well, it's worth a few $100.
Or you just found it in grandma and grandpa's attic or yeah. something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like your 116-year-old great-grandmother just died. Mm-hmm. You went to her house and you found this stuff. She was an antique and she had other things that...
Yeah.
And then they go,
her
well...
Her yearbook that had Jesus in it.
pronounced Jesus.
Oh, sorry.
He was a heck of a basketball player, though. He could dunk like the wind.
Look, water polo, look
out. Oh, water polo, yeah. No kidding.
Yeah.
He just jumped up and ran on the water and ran by everybody.
Greatest goalie ever.
Yeah.
Nothing got by that guy.
No.
Now, before I tell you this Antiques Roadshow story, I do have one question, though. Does the fact that something is old necessarily make it an antique, or does the word antique mean it has value to it? Like, if you found a 100-year-old paperclip, you go, ooh, I found an antique paperclip.
Yeah, I think it has to be a certain year old, a certain years old, or whatever I'm trying to say. It has to be a certain age to...
But what if it was something that was of no value whatsoever? Well, we found some crumpled up tissues that yeah. we think might have some snot in them. Do we go, oh, that's
from
an
George
antique.
Washington.
Yeah, that's an antique.
Yeah.
I don't know. So here's this story that came out this week about Antiques Roadshow. They were taping a show in January, and a guy named Alvin Barr brings in what they call a grotesque face jug. Now, I've seen the picture of this thing, and there's no way for me to describe it better than to say the phrase grotesque face jug. Okay, just get a picture of whatever that is in your own mind.
All right.
And he brings that on to this show. He had bought it at an estate sale in Oregon, and he goes in January to a taping of Antiques Roadshow and says, hi, I'd like to get an appraisal of this. And there's a guy named Stephen Fletcher who's the appraiser that day. And, of course, Stephen Fletcher's an expert on this. Oh, there are grotesque... this is what Stephen Fletcher said on the show. There are grotesque face jugs out there. When we turn this around, there's a whole variety of, well, characters. And, well, this particular person looks like he's had an eye injury. He's looking at the thing and turning it around. They've stitched his eye closed over here. They have a very distinctive character or personality to them. This person speaks with a forked tongue, it would seem. There's a little damage on this part over here. And this particular face looks like he has his tongue stuck out at us. Let's see. Well, look at the base here. It's clay. It's redware. The potter has used an impressive display of techniques to come up with this extraordinary texture. This is really over the top. It's bizarre. It's wonderful. You even see a little bit of Pablo Picasso going on here. This is what you say when you're the appraiser on Antiques Roadshow. You're just loading up the BS. You're like a middle school student who's been assigned an essay and you forgot to do it until that morning, and you have a half hour before the bus comes and you've got to write the essay. This is what you put in your essay,
and
right?
It's your thing, and you're standing there and you hear Picasso and you hear unique and all this other stuff. You're thinking, I can retire.
So he goes on. It's a little difficult to identify precisely when this was made. Probably late 19th, maybe early 20th century. And well, for his origin, I'd say it's probably one of the coasts, maybe the middle Atlantic states, maybe south of there. It's like a psychic just throwing out guesses.
Yes, exactly.
One of them is eventually getting, is there a woman here with an M in her name? Oh, what a coincidence. Then he says, well, estimating his value is a little difficult. I think in a retail setting, someone you might well ask in the area of between $30,000 and $50,000 for this.
Whoa.
And Alvin Barr, the guy who brings it in, says, what? And Fletcher says, I think this is just amazing. This is an amazing thing. He says, no, $50,000, $30,000? Well, that's my opinion. What did you pay for it? And Alvin Barr says, I paid $300 for it. And he says, well, in my opinion, you did not overpay. Okay, so he says again, $30,000 to $50,000. I've never seen anything quite like it ever. Sounds like quite a find, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that guy is, whoa! I can't believe it. Now all we got to do is find somebody to buy this.
Yeah.
So then the show airs a few months later, and a woman by the name of Betsy Sewell gets a call from an old friend. Hey, Betsy, I was just watching Antiques Roadshow. You remember that ceramics class we took in high school back in the 70s? Yeah. One of your projects from that class was just on Antiques Roadshow.
Oh, my goodness.
This was a high school art creation. Like one of those paper mache projects every parent has helped their kid with at some point.
Oh, that's funny.
How much do you think that costs? Probably 20, 25 bucks in,
materials?
Materials.
Oh, not even.
Yeah, probably not even that.
So, Sewell, who, by the way, didn't go on to a career as an artist. She gave up art in college and she went on to be a horse trainer. She actually notifies the people at Antiques Roadshow. They then downgrade their appraisal.
Oh,
it's
sure.
Not $30,000 to $50,000. They downgrade it to $3,000 to $5,000.
$3,000 to $5,000 still?
Yes. And so then they go back to this guy Fletcher, the expert who said $30,000 to $50,000. Well, as far as its age is concerned, I was fooled, as were some of my colleagues. Alas, among the millions of people who watch Antiques Roadshow faithfully was a woman who identified herself as being a friend of the maker, a lady named Betsy Sewell, who created this in 73 or 74 while in high school. But I'll tell you, the techniques of making pottery in many ways haven't changed for centuries. I was only off by 60 to 80 years in my estimate. And I feel the value of this at auction, based on its quality and its artistic merit, would still be in the $3,000 to $5,000 range.
Wow.
That's this just them trying to
That's
CYA.
CYA all the way. Absolutely. So here's why
they can't go down to $2 after $50,000.
No. And by the way, at that Oregon estate sale, you know what this was? I'm sure this was the family that lived in that house, you know. Their kid made this. Maybe it was Betsy or some whatever. And, you know, they just stored it away, as every family does with their treasured stuff.
Yep.
Archie's not in school yet, so you don't know this yet, but you probably have old Alyssa stuff around your house.
Oh, yes, I do.
We have stuff from my daughter hanging off the kitchen walls.
Yeah.
You know, stuff that the poems First that you wrote
project,
when she was six
sure.
and yep. art projects. There's something on one of our windowsills. I don't actually know what it was intended to be. I don't know that I ever knew what it was intended to be, but she was like 5 or 6 years old. Maybe I think she was 5 years old in kindergarten and brought it home. Look what I made. Oh, honey, that's beautiful. That's-
I still have something framed from my oldest son, Corey, that he put together in first or kindergarten or first grade.
Okay, so here's what I'm thinking. Now that we know this, we should go on Antiques Roadshow
yes.
with all of that stuff.
Yeah.
But the problem is, all you get is a Stephen Fletcher who tells you that it's very valuable. The trick is finding somebody to buy it mm-hmm. at that value. So what you need is some
Stephen wasn't going to pay $50,000.
No. He's just making stuff up as he goes along. He's that eighth grader writing that essay and loading on the BS. So instead, we have to find somebody who watches Antiques Roadshow and is gullible enough to believe the pricing of the Stephen Fletchers of the world, and we have to sell them stuff before they find out that it's just junk that our kids made.
It's what? Oh, no!
$30,000 to $50,000 for the grotesque face jug.
It's just a little change jar. Oh.
Oh. Honey, what is that? It's a clay caterpillar.
Yeah.
$48,000.
It's obviously from the Aztec era. It's my kid's ashtray that he made.
Exactly. There's always an ashtray, a pen holder.
Yeah.
I remember when I went to summer camp 1 year and made my dad a pen holder.
Oh, yeah.
and brought it home. Yeah. And of course, it, you know, it was wobbly. It was I carved it out of some piece of wood and it didn't quite sit straight, but he kept it on his desk. Well, my son made that. And if it had been anybody else in the world, they would have, what is this piece of junk? Bunk, right in the wastebasket.
Now, as we look at this pot holder, it's handmade and it has it's woven.
Yes. It's woven with that stuff you used to make that keychain at camp. You know, it's a rainy day, and what is that plastic stuff called?
Oh, yeah.
Not Larry
plastic
X,
stuff.
Something with an L. I can't remember what it was called.
Oh, man.
Take that over stuff. Just get Stephen Fletcher on the phone. We have found something amazing here. Yeah. It's late 18th, maybe 19th, maybe 16th century. When was plastic invented anyway?
Now, this pump lamp was made in a shop class back in 1972.
Oh, man. Oh, it's a lava lamp. Well, back in a moment on the Big 550 KTRS.
All right, we're going to throw it to Tim Weiland and see how traffic looks, Tim.
Okay, you're running slow on westbound 70 from 270 out through Highway 94. You've got another slow pocket between 79 and K. And then once you get out past around Highway A, it's going to be really slow. A lot of people out heading to the lake already. Plus, we had an incident out around Wright City that's cleared. So you're running slow from Highway A through Forestell. Now, you've got an accident eastbound 40 at Big Bend that had the right lane blocked. You're jammed back to, it looks like, Clayton Warson. Southbound 170, they cleared the incident at Dorset, but you're still running slow between 70. That's going all the way down to Manchester, where they were working either a stall or an accident. This traffic report, it is brought to you by, let's see here. It's brought to you by TimeshareExitTeam.com. Do you feel like you're trapped in your timeshare contract? TimeshareExitTeam.com will get you out legitimately. Call 844-321-EXIT. That's 844-321-EXIT. From the Vincent Mortgage Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
KTRS Traffic Center is brought to you by Vincent Mortgage. 314-839-9999. NMLS number 225095. Here's a question only you can answer. What do you think about us? Let us know, and you could win St. Louis FC soccer, Mizzou football, or Six Flags tickets. Just go to KTRS.com and click on Enter to Win and take our listener survey. You'll be able to tell us honestly how we're doing, good or bad, and possibly win St. Louis soccer, Mizzou football, or Six Flags tickets just for doing so. You listen to us, and we listen to you. The Big 550 KTRS. Talk radio for the rest of us.
One of the safest and most secure investments you can make is the remodeling of your kitchen or bath. A new updated kitchen or bath will increase the value of your home and your lifestyle. Now, you can call a contractor working out of the back of his truck and have him give you an estimate, but you're going to want a company that backs its work and can fix a problem if there is one. You want a company that's been around and will be there down the road. That company is Callier & Thompson Kitchens, Baths, and Appliances. They've been in business for over 60 years and will provide experience and quality with a proven track record you can count on. They will guide you through the entire process and work to stay within your budget. Visit them today at CallierandThompson.com. or their showroom just east of 141 on Manchester Road. Call 636-391-9099. That's 636-391-9099 for Callier & Thompson Kitchens, Baths, and Appliances.
For over 30 years, Stefanina's has been serving delicious original family recipes brought from Sicily to America by founder Stefanina herself. Outstanding food, large portions, low prices, and great service in a family atmosphere has made Stefanina's one of the area's finest Italian restaurants. With four locations in St. Charles County and one in Chesterfield, Stefanina's is the place to go for everything from pizza and pasta to steak and seafood dinners that the entire family can enjoy. And now you can save even more with their daily specials. Call ahead or order online at steffspizza.com or dine in. But don't miss these savings.
Hey, pizza lovers, it's Friday. That means you can enjoy two large, two-topping pizzas for only $22.95 at Stefanina's. Call your local Stefanina's or Stefanina's Express location or order online at steffspizza.com. Two large, two-topping pizzas for only $22.95, just in time for the weekend at Stefanina's.
We'll be right back.
Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. Paul Harris, Dan Strauss, Ian Geis. Next hour, Colin comes in, and we have a couple of movies to review. One of them is Money Monster, the new one with George Clooney and Julia Roberts, directed by Jodie Foster. And the other movie is called The Man Who Knew Infinity, which I think wants to be the new version of The Imitation Game, which was a great movie from a couple of years ago. So we'll review that, and we've got some other showbiz stuff to do. Haven't looked up the numbers on the George Zimmerman gun auction lately, but I know that the original site that he had it on threw him off, and so he went to another site. He is trying to auction off the gun that he used to kill Trayvon Martin.
Yes.
Which just seems like a very odd piece of... You know, we were talking in the previous segment about Antiques Roadshow and this, you know, odd objects that people would appraise and buy. Have you looked at this at all?
Yes, and it looks like the reason, I guess he's auctioning it now, he just got it back from whoever the Department of Justice had it for a while. But yeah, it looks like this is a second gun site now that has it up for auction. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, like any high-profile auctions on the internet, it's been bombarded with fake bids and names and everything.
People who are upset that he's selling this gun.
Yes, I think so. So...
What kind of names do you have on there? Are there any we can say on the radio?
Oh, he was saying something about the Smithsonian was interested and all this other stuff. The Smithsonian came out and said, "That's crap. There's no way we would do anything with that gun."
Mm-hmm.
And we've never shown any interest in that.
Why would anybody want that gun? I mean, regardless of which side you fall on that, why do you want that?
I have no idea.
People are so weird.
People are weird, and he seems to have like a little bit of an ego going with this.
A little bit of an ego?
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the description of the auction was pretty...
Read it to me.
Let's see here. It says, "I'm honored and humbled to announce the sale of an American firearm icon."
Okay, stop right there.
Oh, my goodness.
That's enough.
It's not an icon.
No.
Lee Harvey Oswald's rifle. Iconic. But even that, you know, James Earl Ray's gun that he killed Martin Luther King with, an iconic gun. The SEAL Team 6 guy, whatever gun he used to kill Osama bin Laden. Mm. Okay, maybe you could assign the word icon to that. But to say that the gun that George Zimmerman used to kill Trayvon Martin counts as iconic, I don't see it.
No.
All right, let's go back to the roads. Tim, I got 45 seconds.
No, I think we hit Tim twice.
Oh, yeah, we did.
We did?
Yes.
So I have 45 seconds.
Yeah, you have 45 seconds. What do you want to do?
I don't have anything to do.
Well, we can talk to the man in the box if you want to.
I can welcome the people who are in town for the big poker tournament starting today over at Ameristar. It's actually like 10 days worth of different tournaments. Different ones every day. And I know at least one member of the staff of this radio station is going to try to win some big money in one of those tournaments, and it's not me.
Ooh.
I don't want to give any names away, but
okay,
rhymes with Schmary Schmoner.
So, yeah, he just drove by your house the other day.
Yeah, he was up on the roof playing poker.